Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. And we are lucky to have, you know, if you were with us last week, and I know that you were because we made a lot of money in a week. We were talking about the food pantries for the Capital District, and we were helping out with the food pantries, and you helped out with the food pantries. And every time we made the offer and allowed people to help out, you were there, and we so appreciate it. We wanted to It's not the time to do it when we're making the money, so we really wanted to have Natasha Pernicka in, who's the executive director of the food pantries for the Capital District, to join us this morning to talk about the great work that they do, the difficulties that they have had over the past year in doing that work and moving forward. Anyone who knows Natasha and knows the relationship that we have with the food pantries knows that we're dear friends, and it's great to have Natasha here with us. How are you?
Joe, it is so good to be here.
It's just, you're just beaming you. It was just so great to have you here. I just, it's fantastic. Well, first of all, congratulations on the beautiful work that you are doing. Congratulations on the beautiful work that you have done. I know it is with great difficulty and a lot of stumbles and bumbles that people put in your way, but you're doing God's work, and God love you for it. So how are things right now?
Yeah, I have to say that this question of how are things over the past year, it's just crazy, because hunger existed before the pandemic. During the pandemic, it was just extremely critical to get crisis and emergency food access out to people. Now we've kind of turned a corner, but hunger's still here. And so it's so important for us right now to make sure that we get some big picture solutions in place in relation to hunger while we're continuing to keep the food pantries stocked. And I have to say, we are so honored that WAMC helped us with some of our projects last week during the fund drive. So thank you so much to everyone out there, all the listeners who contributed towards that.
Well, we thank them, yes, indeed, and it shows the interest that they have to help other people, and we've always said it's one person helping another person. But when you look at where we are right now, I mean, I think the last time you were on, we were talking about getting vaccinated, of workers getting vaccinated, and the troubles that you all were having, because if somebody, God forbid, got sick within the food pantry, then that would close you down, and then an entire community would go without the services of that food pantry. They'd be picked up from somewhere else, but it just made work a lot more difficult. So now, as things are easing, I mean, are you approaching any sense of whatever normal is in the world of an executive director of a bank of 65 food pantries?
You're so funny, Joe. That's so funny. Oh my gosh! I feel like now more than any, there's even more work to be done, because we have, at this point, we saw that in a crisis, charity was there to push food out, right? We had all these food box distribution programs, and that was crazy. Right now, there's a little bit of pressure off of the pantry system because of the increased SNAP benefits, which are just critical, right? And we've got some unemployment money and things like that. But this is a time that we have to push so hard to say that charity is not how we end hunger in our country and in our region. Really, we have to be pushing hard on increasing federal nutrition support program investments, because they work, and that money goes back into the community, and people have dignity of choice. When you are using SNAP, you have the dignity of choosing the grocery items that you would like to cook.
Right.
And the pantry system is critical, because we're there now. It's the most easily accessible system for people who go to their pantry and their refrigerator and don't have enough to eat for dinner. You can go to the pantry and come home with groceries. So it's so important for pantry shelves to be stocked with nutritious food. But we can't do it this way. With over 40% of households in our region and across the country either living in poverty or just a couple of crises away from being in poverty, we have to make big changes, and now's the time that the nation saw. The nation saw the pictures of the cars lining up for food, and the nation was shocked. Our region was shocked, saying, how do we help feed people? We can't forget about those images because it still exists, and we have to do something to do better for our community.
So that means that a certain part of your job becomes that of advocacy, activism, God forbid, even lobbying.
This past year, that is, I think, the biggest shift in our organization. Before last year, before the pandemic, we would never talk about advocacy or lobbying. We said we will raise awareness, we will do community education.
Right.
And we went through a facilitated strategic process with our stakeholders last year, and every stakeholder group brought up advocacy and the importance of it. And this past year, we have formed the New York State Community Food Assistance Network, and we will have a organization now that we can do some advocacy work. And I think that if we've learned anything as a nonprofit sector, is that we need to be doing this work. A lot of people shy away from it, but we are allowed to do it. And I think our voices are critical to helping shape and inform the policies that are made.
And it becomes so important because, as you say, if this is a strike while the iron's hot moment, if there ever was one, because we have seen those pictures, we have seen our neighbors suffering, and perhaps even ourselves have suffered in some way. So you have that opportunity to make the most of it. One of the things that you are doing is the New York State Food Summit. I know this is not your first one. You have done this before in the past. But this is really important because it gives you an opportunity to discuss these issues and put them in the forefront.
Yeah, and the thing that is exciting this year is this is our first New York State Food Summit.
Yeah.
We've got national speakers coming. It's really about bringing thought leaders and experts together to talk about innovations, best practices, and research and hunger relief efforts. Our keynote is Luis Guardia. He's the president of the Food Research Action Center in D.C. We've got Katie Martin, who's the author of Reinventing Food Banks and Pantries. As a speaker, author and Professor Janet Papendick is one of our speakers. Kizzy Williams.
I love Kizzy.
Is one of our speakers. Yeah. And so we hope to have a diverse perspective on how we attack hunger and locally in our state and really across the country. It's our first time to do it virtual. It's tomorrow. It's June 2nd. If people are interested in hearing these important conversations and being a part of the discussion, we would love people to join us at the New York State Food Summit. They can go to thefoodpantries.org to register.
Thefoodpantries.org, and the New York State Food Summit is tomorrow, and you can find out more information about that event. And that really is for everybody, but especially if you are dealing with this issue in your community or working as a part of a network, and to bring everybody together and sort of on the same page to work through these issues, because they're certainly very constant, I would assume.
Yes. This has been many years.
The commonality.
Yes. But it's time. People, we know the solutions exist. We know how to do it. It's coming together so that our voice is louder, so that we can accomplish what we know we can do.
How do I ask this? And if you don't want to answer this question, that's fine. Just tell me, just shake your head no. but people on the radio won't see it. So I'll move on. But is it good? I mean, you so often see, like, you have 65, is that your number? 65 food pantries. And on top of that, you know, I can think of another 20. And those are all good. They're very small. How much should they be working together or in concert with each other, or is both okay?
I think that working together is important because you can better meet the needs. So if my hours of operation are Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 to 2, and the pantry just down the street is open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7, by working together and coordinating those hours, you can increase the access so that people who work can come after work. So that's, I think, we can better meet community needs by working together, making sure that we're filling gaps and we're not duplicating services. Some duplication is okay because it makes you more resilient to have duplication, but ultimately we're trying to make sure that people have choice and dignity and increasing the access.
You've mentioned that word a couple of times. Let's talk about the dignity aspect of this, because it's so inclusive in the sense of how we should all act. In other words, the dignity of the individual is so important, that we treat them with dignity, and that we treat the problem with dignity, that we understand the issue, and even using the word issue, that it's a situation, and to use that dignity in addressing that.
I think one of the things that we need to, as far as dignity, we need to keep in mind, so I keep using client choice. So my grandparents used to get food from a food pantry.
Yep.
And back in the day, they just would get a box and they had to take what they took. And there were things in there that my grandma didn't cook, wouldn't eat, too much of a certain thing. And so pantries have moved to choice, where people can come. It's almost like a shopping experience where you can choose the food items. But during the crisis, we've moved back to this, here's your box, you get what you get. And I think and there's money in that. The federal response were these box programs. So all these boxes with prepackaged food were just going out. And that is a acceptable crisis response, but that's not an acceptable way to do this as a supplemental or regular way of getting people food, because it's not dignified. You're just getting what you get, and you don't have any choice in that. And that's why when I talk about SNAP or food stamps benefits, that's more dignified, because people can actually, whatever their cultural food preferences are, or the things you like to eat, or, you know, I know how to make this, you have more choice. Pantries try to have choice as well, but they're small, and so they're limited in the amount of items that they can stock.
Unfortunately, we are also limited in time, so I have to give you only 30 seconds to answer this really big question. But, I mean, also part of the problem is when you look at WIC and you look at SNAP, things that we were helping out with in the fund drive, like personal hygiene items, those aren't included.
That's
right.
So
you get that too.
That's right. The personal hygiene items are critical. Deodorant, toothpaste, washing your hair, washing your clothes.
Right.
I mean, everybody deserves the dignity of having those basic need items.
Well, you are doing beautiful work in the community, and we thank you so much for it. You are very impressive to watch in gear, and I appreciate you being here and the great relationship that we've had together. You can find more information about the wonderful work that the food pantries of the Capital District do, for the Capital District, I should say. Someday I'll get that right. All you have to do is go to their website, thefoodpantries.org, thefoodpantries.org. There you can also find information about the New York State Food Summit, which takes place tomorrow virtually. Thefoodpantries.org, that'll take place tomorrow, June 2nd. Natasha, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe.